Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the editor of the New Books Network. NBN listeners like to read books and buy them. So we thought we'd tell you that right now, our friends at Princeton University Press are having a remarkable site-wide sale. You can get 50% off books, including ebooks and audiobooks, with the code 50, F-I-F-T-Y, at checkout until May 31. You can save some real money on Princeton University Press books. I encourage you to go there and check it out. Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello, welcome to the New Books in Jewish Studies podcast. I am your host, Ari Barbalat. Today, I am thrilled to be in dialogue with Ian Probstein. He is professor of English at Touro College. We will be discussing his newly translated book, Centuries Encircle Me with Fire, Selected Poems of Osip Mandelstam, published in Boston by Academic Studies Press, 2022. Thank you. I am honored to be with you.
Thank you. I'm honored to be with this new books. Myself, that's a great honor and maybe even responsibility. As I said before, I never imagined that I would be translating Mandelstam into English.
Can you tell us about Osip Mandelstam's childhood and upbringing? What events in his life made him the person and poet that he would become?
Well, I said several things about his childhood. The father was, and he thought about the noise of time. The father was of Orthodox origin, originally from Riga. And when he went, he studied in Germany. He studied Torah, but also he studied German philosophy. And in Mandelstam's ideas, he expressed something. He wrote in German. He was at the moment when Mandelstam was born. They were in Warsaw, which is now Poland, but was part of the Russian Empire. And he was a merchant at that time. Later, closer to the World War, he would, or after the World War, before the Revolution, he would be bankrupt. But at that time, as wholesale leather trade and other things, he was basically prospering but there was no contact. Young Mandelstam was more to his mother, Flora Verzblovskaya, her maiden name, who was she had some education. She was a pianist, musician, and she her language was not very rich, as Mandelstam said, but flawless Russian. And her library was the beginning of her Russian library, Russian literature library, poetry, Pushkin, Lermontov, Tolstoy, the poets, Fyodor Tyutchev, Dostoevsky, and even nonsense. All these things that were on top, the lowest shelf was the father's religious books, Torah, Talmud, and other things which lay horizontally, not vertically, so shabby and heavy they were. Then the second shelf was his philosophy, but also poetry. Goethe, Schelling, in his philosophy was also including the writings, also in German, I believe, of Baruch Spinoza, a dubious, from Jewish point of view, a dubious figure, right? And what is peculiar that he even had English poetry, Shakespeare, also translated into German. He took the family later on to Pavlovsk, and later on they, as a merchant of the first guild, that is the highest of the time. He was allowed to live in Petersburg. It was not any Jew who was not allowed to live in Petersburg or was admitted to the higher institution, the higher education, that is university. So that was, and when they went on vacation, he took the family to Riga, and little Mandelstam, he was a little boy before even school, was left with his grandparents who did not speak Russian, and he did not speak Hebrew, Yiddish, or Latin, or German. So he was lost, he was scared, until he was even afraid of his grandfather. Until the parents came. There were moments when he felt antagonism, but there were moments later on in life, especially when his mother died, when he felt his Jewishness. He dedicated a poem. I didn't translate it, but I had somewhere a literal, a word for word translated to his mother, where the sun is black and yellow. It was also a very sad poem, but also the idea is also ambivalent. He is the idea that the ungodly burial of godly people or something like priests, so he didn't believe in that. Later on, Nadezhda Mandelstam would write that he never denied, although he had under circumstances, to convert to take Lutheran faith, Lutheran religion, just to be admitted to Petersburg University. And he decided that he would actually take Lutheran rather than Orthodox Christian Russian faith. That was one of his decisions. However, what later on, there was also several things that he dedicated, several poems. Some even say there is a scholar who say that Mandelstam is a Jewish martyr. First of all, both are problematic, and Mandelstam still, even in the prison, believed in the violets and believed that this homestead, this heaven, this sky is a homestead, and that is purgatory. And he believed in, so to speak, that in terrestrial heaven. Very, very similar to Pound, although they did not know anything about each other, of course. Some ideas concerning language history before Pound, of course, became the obvious figure. And so that is his idea and his background. So he came back to several things and even dedicated what he thought a poem 1920 to his would-be future wife, Nadezhda, as she says. If I find it, I can write. And then in also about the future, one of the octaves, I didn't say much. I read one of them, and then one of them is dedicated, and mentioned another when I was talking about Sophia, Saint Sophia, Hagia Sophia. So I will read one which is dedicated to the Jewish theme. Interestingly, it was 1933, about he knew about resettling in Palestine, and probably that was his also ambivalent answer. Tell me, a draftsman of the desert, a geometrician of Arabian sands, will the lines unrestrained exert the power of a violent wind? I'm not concerned with the tremor, the awe of his Judean concerns. He molds his experience from murmur, and his murmur he drinks from what he learns. So a juxtaposition, maybe prediction is true. It was written in 1933. Probably it's about the future of the resettlers, or already of the Jewish settlers or resettlers in Palestine. That was long before he died in 1938, December. That is long before the World War II was felt in the air, but it's long before it was not probable to think about a Jewish state at that time. So to sum up, Nadezhda Mandelstam claims that he was a Judeo-Christian, that he did not deny a Christian culture, but he did not deny his Jewishness either. And that was what makes Mandelstam, before, of course, this end and the poems that I already read, until the very end, he was pro-life. He said, I will say it in draft and in whisper, since the time has not come yet. The game of the instinctive heaven is attained through experience and sweat, and beneath a temporal sky of purgatory, we often forget that this happy heaven's depot is our expanding and lifetime homestead. So, we will think about, there are many themes, of course, and many motives and many ideas from his early poems, like with what is considered with life is breathing, and this full of wheat or bread homestead. That is his idea of breathing is affiliated. He had problems, by the way, later on with heart problems, and that was one of the reasons he died. So breathing was one of the main things, life and death, of course, from the very beginning, his first poem, which is translated by many, I also, of 1909. And this is corresponds to the poem that I just read of 1937. I'm given a body. What should I do with it? So whole and so mine. Tell me, whom should I praise for a quiet joy to live and to breathe? I'm a gardener and a flower as well. I'm not alone in the world's prison cell. My breath, my warmth has been already laid upon the panes of eternity. A pattern is imprinted thereon, a pattern recently unknown, that moments dregs, then trickle down like haze. This clear pattern nothing can erase. You see, this poem is 1909, a pure genius, and his, of course, manner, his manner changed, but his idea and his perception of life and death and his belief that nothing can erase, so it was real, nothing erased. It was due to not only to Nadia Dyakhovna, but to other people as well. And there is a hope always that manuscripts do not burn, as it was stated in The Master and Margarita Bulgakov's novel. And here is also the same conviction of Mandelstam. He came back. Some of the poems, some of the things were lost, but many were preserved.
Can you describe the evolution of the different themes in Mandelstam's poetry?
That's also a question of the evolution of different themes in his poetry. His recurrent themes are the mystery of life, death, and eternity. From the outset, as I said, in this poem of 1909 that I just recited, to his octaves of 1933. So breathing and wheat and abundance is also affiliated with life, associated with life. And also in his octave, I life when the substance appears, when gasping for two or three times or four times you need, and in clears a straightening breast then arrives, then drawing green forms and spheres by the arcs of fast racing sails, pales, half awake babe without ears, who never knew cradle place. So, and also breaking with the later on, with the gravitation even in the octaves as well. Some of the poems are twins, the same beginning but different ending. And that happened often in Mandelstam, but in this case, there is another octave, eight lines, with the same beginning and this different ending. I lie when the substance appears, when gasping for two or three times, or four times you need and then clears a straightened breast and arise. And then it's so joyful and painful when a moment approaches as bliss and a straightening arc is so gleeful that my matter with meaning it fills. So the beginning is the same, the ending is different. And then a straightened breast, one thing, and then my mother with meaning is filled when with the help of this straightening arc. Now, and then the sky and firmament. So the sky or heaven is one thing, firmament is probably of also mighty but terrifying. Or when having destroyed a draft, you keep in your diligent mind a period, all in a sinner dark, without tiresome notes, it will find strength, self-repent, to hold tight, without engine or else, with closed eyes. Its relation to paper can be described as that of a cupola to the skies. So here is he did not write his poems in the regular sense. He said, we understand only from voice what was scratching there. And Надежда Мандельштам recollects also that he would murmur, he would walk when he had opportunity. Sometimes he could not walk out. He would murmur, and only after that he will take any paper without noticing. That's why textologists later on would see one poem was dated, say, 31st, and the other was 37th. So he would write on the back of this poem, this new poem, and then drafts them. Later on, he would also employ Надежда Яковлевна, his wife, who would be writing for him, and he would only be dictating, and then he would be working with a draft. So that is what he said about creation, about this draft, which is destroyed, but out of his murmur arise something new, a straightened breast, his poetry. Now, the images of vital blood as opposed to dryness, one of the things noticed by Kirill Taranovsky, for instance. And then also combination his sense of antiquity and Hellenism with contemporaneity mixture. That happened, that was even before he married. It was dedicated to one beauty, an actress, and a painter, an artist, Olga Arbenina Gildenbrandt. Arbenina is the theatrical name of her father, who was an actor, dramatic actor, and of her, who also studied acting and started acting, but she never studied painting, but actually her artwork is outstanding. But at that time, she was also an outstanding beauty. And Baus, Gumilev, and Mandelstam were in love with her, and but couldn't help all that. And then even at for some time in 1920, Mandelstam and Gumilev were had some kind of conflict because of this woman. But then she married another one, and they were smiling, so they were all full. But this poem is the prediction of other things. It's growing more out of this, that they could not be together, that he could not convince her, that went to the cosmic, universal, going back to Homer, the images of Homer, of course, because I couldn't hold your hands in mine, since I betrayed your salty, tender lips. I must wait for the dawn in the thick Acropolis now. How I hate those ancient, fragrant wooden walls. In the darkness, Achaeans, equip their horse and rip firmly into the walls their jagged swords. The dry tumult of blood would never cease, and there is no name, no sound, no cast of yours. How did I dare think that you would return? Why did I leave you? Why did I go ahead? The dark has not scattered, and the cock has not crowed yet, and the glowing axe has not yet pierced the wood. A transparent tear of resin ran down the walls, and the city feels its wooden ribs, but the blood rushed out to the stairs and went on to the assault. And the men saw a tempting image rise in their dreams, a tempting image of heaven. Ah, where is sweet Troy? Where is the king's maiden's home? It will be destroyed, Priam's high stalling nest, and the wooden rain of arrows will pour down, and more arrows grow like a hazel grove from the earth. A sting of the last star dies painlessly out, and the gray swallow of the dawn will knock on the window pane, and the slow day, like an ox in the haystack, wakes up, staring on the rugged squares after a long dream. So that is his combination, his vision, going, uniting that ancient Helen, the fall of Troy, his personal responsibility, and that all happened because of the love that you couldn't call the hands. He couldn't hold her. So that is what we could call the cosmic consequences of just one thing. So he joined times together, blended. So continuity, past, present, future. And it's amazing that the themes, the manner differed, but many things like I'm giving a body from the beginning to the 20s to the latest, which I read about about Crete, about lute, the poems also emerged in Voronezh in exact.
Can you tell us about the Jewish identity or the ambivalent Jewish identity of Osip Mandelstam?
Well, basically, so he never denied that he was Jewish, but several things were from the beginning, and several things were a bit ambivalent. I told about his prose, his Noise of Time, which was associated mostly with his father, and the other things. Then, nevertheless, he would say, and he was once he was called his work, Tinyanov, the famous scholar and philologist, in his essay A Gap, praised Pasternak, but said that Mandelstam was almost like a foreigner in the language, and that's why how he wrote in this poem that I read concerning in quick and with quick lime in the blood. Together, night herbs for the foreign tribe. That's how his ideas about Jewishness. Nevertheless, he considered himself a Russian poet. And I already read out loud his doubt about the future of Palestine, that was in one of the octaves of 1937, of 1933. And then when he was in Armenia, that is a long story, and well, but he opposed, so he was on the side of Armenia, that she was always trampled by this Middle Asian, all of the invaders. It was in prose and in poetry, so he felt affiliated, associated with Armenia as opposed to the Muslimist that were the long history of Armenian people, and he met with them, and he said that it was the Sabbath land for him. Here are several things that I said can be related. I didn't translate them, so they're not included in this book, but definitely dedicated to Jewish theme. And one of them is from 1916, when his mother died, also ambivalent. And the sun is black and yellow. That is the image of black at that time, in that poem. And later, one was dedicated, they say, or at least Nadir Dayakhan thinks that the poem of 1920 about Leah was dedicated, it was, I believe, included in Tristia, Okay, I will see. It's a little interesting moment, also related to Jewish. Go back to the ancestor swamp, where from where Leah you have come, because you preferred a yellow twilight to the bright alien sun. Go, no one will harm you in your incest. Let the ancestor's daughter in her plight drop her head on her father's breast in the dead of the gloomy night. But a doomed change in you unwailing will have to be fulfilled hence. You will be Leah, not Helen. You were not named thus since. It is harder for a royal blood than any other to stream in the veins. No, you will fall out with a Jew. You will disappear in him. God be with you. So, in Nadezhda Yakovlev's interpretation of this poem, first of all, Mandelstam seems to mix up two Leahs. One was Jacob's wife, and the other was a nameless, actually, the daughter of Lot. After they went Sodom, and they said that they were the only ones, so they the daughters committed sin, as you know from the Bible. But Mandelstam says that her name was not mentioned. Mandelstam calls her Leah. But in general, what she interprets is that he believed that all Jews are relatives. And so his marrying Nadezhda would be like an incest. That is something different, right, from what was in the Bible. And of course, the beauty. So Helen, who will be opposed to both of them, but Helen is a beauty that brought a devastating war and the destruction of Troy, as was in the other hand. So all personal things become cosmic. All cosmic things become personal. That's in brief to sum up this and other poem. So this I already quoted also one that I translated about the Palestine, the geometrician from the ninth octave from him. That is basically the ideas of Mandelstam to sum up. In the words of Nadezhda Yakovlevna, he was Jewish, he never denied that, but he was a Russian poet. And she claimed that his faith and his convictions were Judeo-Christian. That is how she perceives it. There are some other poets and scholars who call him, as I said, a Jewish martyr, even, although she says that the idea of martyrdom was not, she denied that. Not Jewish martyrdom, but martyrdom in general. Although, actually, he was, but there were so many others. Great Russian writers and poets who were shot immediately, like the writer Babel, for instance, if you heard about Isaac Babel, who was a marvelous short story writer mostly. Many others also, both Jewish and he has Jewish motives and there's some motives his writing. Mandelstam was from a different background. So on his father's side of religious, even Jews, on his mother's side of some kind of secular Jews, but he felt himself Jewish, yes. He just didn't limit that. He was in his worldview, as Nadezhda Yakovlevna said, also Hellenic worldview, that is how he accepted and interpreted the Crimea, and also his visits to other Mediterranean countries, mostly Italy, and if we talk about France, then briefly southern France and Italy, but he was regretting later that he spent so little time abroad, but he didn't want to go. Once a Lithuanian poet who was also he was Russian poet, but Lithuanian ambassador of Lithuania in the Soviet Russia, not even the Soviet Union, in the 1920s. And he wanted, since Mandelstam was born in Warsaw, and was somehow related, his mother's side, to Lithuania, Vilnius, he wanted Mandelstam to apply for Lithuanian citizenship. Mandelstam started gathering papers, but then he dropped the idea, saying that you cannot run away from your fate. That was his idea. Why? Otherwise, briefly, as several people at that time could escape into the Baltics, yes, through citizenship.
What is the relevance of Osip Mandelstam's poetry today in the year 2023?
Okay. Today, and well, great poetry is relevant all the time now, especially now when I didn't single out, for instance, one thing that is basically comes to mind. His and sharply anti-war, what he said, and he felt, he even actually wrote very bitter lines about Italy under fascists, and he also wrote the poem. Well, the greatest poem is Poems on the Unknown Soldier. But even before that, he addressed the idea of war in a fighting way. And then this is the idea of 1920. So being opposed to war, combination of all the wars, prediction of the future destruction, is the poem, the verses of the unknown soldier. The praise of creativity, the hope that we live not in vain. So everything that poetry is blessed, that the isles also of the holy archipelago, a blessed isles. That was his feeling of life, and that our life should be meaningless, and you cannot destroy it. You name them. Also, because one thing is great ideas. They could be in essays, but it is also powerfully expressed in poetry, full of these things. That was my attempt. There were attempts before that. I'm sure there would be attempts in the future, but in the Russian language, he did not only survive, he became one of the greatest poets of the 20th century, more meaningful than, for instance, Mayakovsky or Essenin, and even, to me, more important than Pasternak. I liked Pasternak before, and I liked Bloch and still love them, Alexander Bloch. Well, the meaning, and I understand now, Mandelstam, for whom the name of Pushkin was sacred. Now everything is in doubt, even Pushkin, because Pushkin, imperial poet. Nobody denies, by the way, Mandelstam, because several people, as I said, consider him a martyr, and some people even consider him a Jewish martyr. So Mandelstam is an exception in that. Akhmatova is an exception. But the ambivalent attitude nowadays, I hope it will be overcome by reason that even Pushkin was imperial poet. They nowadays in denial, rightfully, maybe. I support, I also donate, I support Ukrainian poets. I haven't published there, and I publish in anthologies, anti-war anthologies in Kyiv, and in several oppositional journals like Roar and others. In Roar is published in Israel, several are published in here or in New York or in Ukraine and in the Baltics. So resistance is growing, but I don't think that we have to cancel Pushkin or Tuchev in spite of their things. And Mandelstam stands in the first hand as not only a victim, no, not only a martyr, but a creator of, and he's anti-war for sure. If we had time, I would have read this long poem, Verses on the Unknown Soldier, which is one of the most impressive poems, of course, anti-war and prediction of all the wars to come and the wars that were in his time. That was a civil war in Spain and the war of Italy in Africa, in Abyssinia, and that was in newspapers. So also some scientists predict that he also predicted the nuclear, the light of space, and other, although several scholars think that it was through the 19th century astronomer in science fiction, French Flammarion. In spite of sophisticated ideas, his idea to unite world culture, to be in the middle of it, his poetry, beginning with his early poetry to the last, with the hope of being preserved here for the future generation, for the life, life and death are inseparable. This and many other things, and also how it is written. My attempt, I repeat, is one of the attempts. It is written in every line is a mark of genius. So I would say that he is relevant not only in our tumultuous time, but will be relevant until the human kind exists. That's my idea. And that will be, I read already the things I can read an fragment from this for to find it's a long poem. First of all, he predicts that he thinks about this mass, fighting mass as without vision, windowless ocean. It is like the vision of, by the way, of First World War, of Apollinaire. He has a similar poem. Verses on the unknown soldier. Let this air be our eyewitness. His long range beating heart in the dugouts, active, omnivorous substance. A windowless ocean strives hard. Now, first of all, long range beating heart is also allusion to the First World War when the Germans with the cannon, which was named or called Big Bertha, shoot at Paris. So they were with that. So this is one. Then his ambivalent attitude towards the stars. The stars, I usually have a negative connotation. How sneaky these stars are. In commotion, they would peep and watch. For what purpose? Into the substance? The windowless ocean to convince the judge and the witness. Rain, a dreary sower and stark. Its nameless manna remembers how a forest of crosses marked the ocean of fighting files members. So manna, which brought death, unlike the Bible. Sickly freezing men will kill, chill, and starve. And an unknown soldier then will be laid in his famous grave. A sickly swallow, unable to fly, teach me. How can I cope with that airy grave without rudder and sail? And this is allusion to the long poem where the monologue of the demon, the devil of Lermont. And here, I will give you, and I will give you a strict account for Lermont of Michael, how a hunchback is taught by the great, while an echo lures and holds. So on the one hand, great poet with him, he felt affiliation, but also some of the things, and his also life and death at 27 at the duel also. Then the world threaten us with staring hanging grapes, and the tents of stretched constellation hang like stolen cities and towns, golden hints and denunciations berries of poisonous gall, constellations of fatty gall, through the ether of 10-digit zeros, the light of speeds ground down to a beam, starts a number, made lucent and clear by the bright panes of holes and moles, and beyond the field of fields a new battlefield, flies like a triangular flock of cranes. The news flies like a new dust-like light, and it's bright from the yesterday's fight. The news flies like a light dust novelty. I'm not Leipzig, not Waterloo, not the Battle of Nations. I'm new. I will dazzle the world with my light. Arabian mess, mash and ash, the light of speed ground down to a ray, and trampling my retina with his squint soles, the beam flattens the pupil of my eye. The millions of murdered cheaply, wholesale, have trampled the past in the void. Good night, good sleep to them all on behalf of the dugout forts. Incorruptible heaven of trenches, the sky of death, wholesale and large scale, beyond you, from you, the whole one, I fly on my lips in the dark. And then he says, reviewing, going, the infantry nice dicely and nicely sings the nightly choir. At Corporal Schweitz, Flatten smiles, it's the main character of Jaroslav Hasek, the Czech writer. And donkey kicks out bird-shaped spear and a bird-like visor of a knight. And then, should the skull develop its brow, wide and high, from temple to temple, so that the troops cannot but flow, flooding its eyes, dear apples. The skull develops through life, along the whole brow, from temple to temple. It tempts itself with its purity of its joints, shines with an intelligent dome, foams with thought, dreams of itself, a cup of cups, home its home, a cup sewn with a starry seam, Shakespeare's father, a cup of joy. And the end of this poem, I skipped several stanzas because it's a long poem. And at the end of this poem, only abundance is our alley, the depths of to be fathomed, not abyss ahead, and to fight for orations of air is the glory beyond compare. Having packed my own mind with my fating being, can I stop drinking this brew, eat my own head under fire? If is the packaging of charm stored in the empty space, so that white stars should rush home slightly tinted in red, a stepmother of a starry gypsy camp. Do you hear the night? What will happen then? From now on, aortas are flooded with blood, and a whisper spreads through the ranks. I was born in the year 94. I was born in the year 92. And squeezing in my fist as worn-out date of my birth, with bloodless lips, I whisper amid crowd and herd, I was born on the night from the 2nd to the 3rd of January in the unreliable year of 91, and centuries encircle me with fire. So that is the poem. which in the Russian language, in the first hand, it's translated by several people. Each generation, each decade, maybe even faster, into English as well. The best translation so far is by Paul Celan into German. Paul Celan, the great poet and Holocaust survivor, as you know, and German poet, who knew Russian, who admired Mandelstam openly all his life. What he did in German is brilliant. We can try to do it in other languages too and interpret the great people from, I said, Taranovsky, Ronin, Gasparov, and many others dedicated. Zhirinovsky was the first in 1916, dedicated the criticism and scholarship to Mandelstam. So he is not just preserved and reasoned, revived, but became one of the greatest poets of the 20th century, not only Russian. So that's my idea of because all these ideas are good and they can be expressed in prose and even in essay. But when they're expressed in the convincing condensed images, that is something different, and you can think about it infinitely.
As we end today, I am signing off as your host on the New Books in Jewish Studies podcast, Ari Barbalat. Today, I've been in dialogue with Dr. Ian Probstein. He is Associate Professor of English at Touro College in New York. He is also a bilingual English-Russian poet and a translator of poetry. Today, we have been discussing his newly published, translated, edited, and compiled book, Centuries Encircle Me with Fire, Selected Poems of Osip Mandelstam, a bilingual English-Russian edition, published by Academic Studies Press, 2022. Thank you.